time of storm. Good morning, everyone. We're glad you're here, and we got people that are visiting with us today. Welcome. We're glad that you've come our way. We invite you to come back tonight and be with us every time we meet to worship the Lord. Ken, we appreciate the good prayer that you just led in. Certainly, we're uplifted and encouraged by the good singing as Freddie has been leading us. Chris reading the scriptures, and then certainly we're just so thankful that we can all be together and participate in the service of the Lord. Are you building? Are you building with or without the Lord? I'll have it on the overhead in a few moments. If you ever contemplated building a house, thought about it from scratch up, heard the illustration of this fellow who came to the lumber company, and he went in and he said to the people there, said, I'd like to get some 42s. And she said, what? And he said, I want to get some 4x2s. And he said, well, she said, you mean 2x4s? So he said, wait a minute. So he went out to his partner in the truck, asked him, came back in a little while, and the response, you're right. I want to get some 2x4s. And she said, well, how long? Well, he said, I don't know. He went back to the truck. In a little while, he came back in. He said, we want them to last for a long time. We're building us a house. I don't know about you. If he was going to build my house, if they were going to be the ones building my house, I think I'd do something right away to change, wouldn't you? When somebody doesn't even know what 2x4s and the length of them all. That illustrates my point, and that is this. If you build without the Lord, that's how silly you are. Are you building with the Lord or without Him? Didn't you just hear Chris read from the Word of God? Except what, Lord? Except a person build with the Lord. Except a man. Except the Lord build the house. You labor in vain who build it. Your life, whatever the house is that you're thinking about, your family, the church, or whatever. You know with the Lord there is promised to be successful. But I'll tell you what. If you labor and it's not with the Lord, you've lost everything. God says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build. Who wants to build a house, a life, be a member of a church that is not the Lord's and the Lord leading and guiding you? Listen to it. Unless the Lord build the house, all your labor. People that go into all of these services in worship unto the Lord. People who build all these big church buildings. Spend a lot of time in doing so much that's not in keeping with God's will. It's all in vain. Why do it? Why, he goes on to add another thing to that where he said, unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. The psalmist is telling us something. Here it is, two words. Unless the word except is involved, if the Lord is involved in the building, then number two, all your efforts, your life, I don't care if you live to be 85, 95, 105. It still all will be useless. It's all in vain. Would you be a member of a church that does not wear the name of Jesus? The name that belongs to Christ? The Bible tells us in Romans 16, verse 16, salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. I want to be a member of that church. The name that honors Christ. Would you want to use instrumental music in worship when God tells us what we are to do. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, always teaching and admonishing one another with hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. No, I'm not going to offer music to the Lord. That is not what the Lord wants. Why would you want to engage in parties and feastings and all kinds of social activities when the Lord plainly tells you, eat at home? Jesus Christ came to build His church. What is it? It's His spiritual body. It's His people. Oh, if we could just learn that when Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He did. Matthew 16, verse 18. No church is His unless He builds it. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. All right, let's go to the one who owns it. In Acts 20 and verse 30, verse 28, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord which He hath purchased with His own blood. Let's ask Him. Where do we learn about the church that belongs to Christ? Except the Lord build a house, all your labor is in vain. That means the doctrine that is preached. 2 John verse 9, whosoever goeth on and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. God couldn't make that clearer to you. People who do not abide in the teaching, the doctrine of Christ, do not have God. They will not be saved. Why? Because the teaching of Jesus Christ is found in God's Word. In 1 Peter 4 verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if God hadn't spoken it, don't you. Because we speak where the Bible speaks and we remain silent where the Bible is silent. We have a place in building our houses. We have a place in building our lives. But let us never forget, we're not going to do it our way. We're going to serve God by doing it His way. Morgan said, we have seen men build them houses, and with care and great cost, only to see them crumble to pieces because God was forgotten. There is an old Latin motto, and it's over in, and this was real interesting when I learned that in England, or Scotland rather, Edinburgh, Scotland, here we have this motto of the city, and it appears on the crest and is affixed to the city's official doctrines, and it means what? I tell you what it means, my friends. It means without God, frustration. Without God, nothing. No wonder when you go and you read what men write that God has said, then you can quote it. Appearing therein is this expression, without the Lord, everything is frustration. You know that with your own life, and I do too. It's easy to get frustrated in this old life. Remember what God tells us. Except the man build, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, Paul writes, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What's the purpose in your life and mine? It's to bring glory unto God. You remember Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Are you doing that? Do people see you? Can they say that you are a child of God because of the way in which you are living your life, what you do, how you act? Surely let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me point out just a few things about building with God. Singing. Boy, I loved this morning when Freddie got up here. And you know what he led? The first song. I'm happy today. How many of you are happy? I'm happy today. Oh, let's sing it. I'm happy today. How many of you sing? Are you singing out loud so people can hear you? Louder. What else are we doing? Because he's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm standing today. Well, you did great. When Freddie gets up here to lead that song, and when he's looking out over the audience, I just wonder if he sees everybody's lips, and they're singing out, and we sing them like we were just singing. I want to tell you what, you came today, not to just hear singing, but for you to engage in singing. Am I right or wrong? Isn't that right? What is worship? When you are building according to God, and God tells us to sing, you don't pick out 10 or 15 people who have the best voices, have a chorus and let them, and you sit there and you listen to them. You participate. You put yourself into singing, praying. Tim led such a good prayer this morning, Tim Luke. And I thought it was really interesting. Did you pay attention to everything he had to say? Now, you got to hear him when he's preaching. And boy, when he's preaching, you can hear him. How can you say the amen if you don't? But when you're listening and another person is leading that prayer, and he's praying for our boys and our girls and our children. That, to me, is great. Praying. But who's praying? What were you doing when he was leading? Were you listening? Could you say at the end, amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Acts 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. What is it then? I will sing with the Spirit. And look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 15. I will sing with the Spirit and I will pray with the Spirit. You're involved in talking to God whenever you're praying. But are you giving? Last Sunday was over $5,000. We have a little while. In a little while, we'll have an opportunity to give. You know who you're giving that to? Not to these elders. Not to us. If I understand the truth, what God says with those who are building and working with Him, you're giving to Him. There's the baskets. They'll be passed around and you'll be opportunity, and guess where God is? Right here. What's He seeing? Seeing us. Seeing us what we do with what He's given for us. As we have therefore opportunity, do what? Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached, yes. In 1 Corinthians 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by as you have prospered. You know what God loves? He loves a cheerful giver that's giving like he ought to give. I heard a preacher one time said, all you have to do is just make up your mind. If you give $10, just give it with a good. You might not be able to give or should be giving a whole lot more. How can you be cheerful and happy in what you're giving if you don't even think the God of heaven is going to be happy with what you give? Guess what? When we come before God, what you give today will be remembered. Give. Why? God loves a cheerful giver, yes. Acts 20 and verse 35. And I can't say enough about this. Just a few moments, I was sitting here a while ago. Chris was sitting next to me, and my eyes caught the table. And underneath there's the contribution baskets. What a beautiful sight. Here's the bread. In just a little while, we'll be able to break bread together. And there's the cup. And we'll be able to drink the fruit of the vine. Is that what you're going to be doing? What are you going to be thinking? How are you going to participate? That's what it's all about. It's the first day of the week, and that's when the early disciples came together to break bread. Acts 20 and verse 7. Who? Disciples, those who are children of God. What are you thinking about? I hope you're thinking about the Savior. I hope you think about Jesus. Because Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Building a life. Building a house. Everything we do must be with what? With God. Preaching and teaching. Do you really put your mind on what is said from God's Word? In Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together, Paul preached unto them. Guess what he preached? Preached the Word of God, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. What do you want to hear when a man gets up here to preach? I hope it's the Word of God. That we're thinking about. Paul said, preach the Word in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 4. I knew a man whose name was Harold Young. He died this last year. He was an older man when he passed away. And he said one of the hardest things that we'll ever be able to do probably is to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because you've got to keep your mind upon that what you're doing. And the teaching of the Word of God is so important to us when you're baptized. As everybody's told to be baptized. In Mark 16, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In Acts 22 and verse 16, now why towerest thou, arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Your life, no matter how long it may be, is not worth anything to you in eternity if you're not even in Jesus Christ. You've never been baptized into the Lord. But don't ever do it because somebody else tries to force you. Don't ever do anything in the service of the Lord without what? Except the Lord be the one that guides me. I love to see people be baptized. I want to tell you though, just because a man has a wife that wants him to be baptized, or a wife that has a husband, she wants to be baptized. And they do it just for that reason. That's not the reason that God says in His Word. How can you be baptized scripturally yourself without doing it upon yourself? You see, you're going to answer to God. I'm going to answer to God. Each of us is going to answer to God for what we say and what we do, how we live. Obeying the gospel is very personal. And I know, and you know, you never get a person to do it who really means something to them unless they do it themselves. Had a man in Rushville, Alabama, and I'm telling you one thing. I loved that older man. I was a younger man. I tried my best to get him to obey the gospel. I tried, I begged and pleaded with him to be baptized. Not for me, but rather for Him. Baptism is for you. It's something for the sinner to engage in. Accept the Lord, build the house, and teach us what to do. It is to no avail, I'm sorry to tell you. He passed into eternity never having been baptized. Oh, how sad. Working for the Lord, doing what the Lord wants us to do, be busy. Why come back tonight to worship? Isn't there other things that you probably could do? Don't you think that maybe there's a program on TV or there's a party or something else you could do? Surely. But my friends, when you want to be here and you want to serve the Lord and you're working to make a life that is built by the Lord, where do you think the Lord's going to be? Sure, He's going to be everywhere, but He's going to be here because He's promised so. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. In John 12, verse 48, Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The whole thing this morning I wanted to get before us is trust. Walk. Do what God wants you to do that you can read about in the Scriptures that you know is right. Being a member of the Lord's church is a grand thing. Being able to walk in life and then the sweet sleep that God gives His people. We talked about it a little while ago in my class, Daniel 3, where King Nebuchadnezzar had built a great gold image. And he commanded everybody to fall down and worship that image. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not do so. And you know why they wouldn't? I'll tell you why. Because they served God. And their lives were being dedicated by God. And they told the king when he gave him a second chance. It may be, you may throw us into the fiery furnace. But those in my class will remember, we will not serve your God. We will not bow down to you. Why? Because we are servants of the Most High God. America, every Christian, he needs that kind of faith. We will serve the Lord. Who is the we? You, me, and all of us. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. I'm not going to try to come out there and pull you in. All I'm going to tell you is what the Lord says. It's up to you to make your decision. But my friends, unless the Lord build the house, the life that you're living, you're building with the Lord. You're doing what the Lord wants you to do. Unless the Lord build the house, your life will be of no avail whatsoever to God. And in eternity, Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, and there will be many, 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 many. Let me add one more many. There will be many that will say to them, Lord, Lord. What did Jesus say? He would say, every one of them, why call you me Lord, Lord, if you're not willing to do what I tell you to do? Won't you listen to Him? And I said to Saul, why tarrest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. You know what Saul did? He knew what he needed to do because Ananias told him. The Bible tells us in Acts 9, verse 18, he immediately arose and was baptized. Oh, I hope if you're not a Christian today that you'll obey the gospel. And those of you who are erring children of God, except the Lord build the house, your life. How can you stand and sit knowing that in the condition you're in right now, you're going to be rejected because you haven't been faithful to the Lord? That's pretty straight talk, isn't it? But I'll tell you something. It's true. You know what the Bible says in Revelation 2 and verse 10? Be thou faithful unto death. Can't wait right before you die and think, oh, everything's going to be all right with me now. I realize that if you change your heart, God will take care of the matter. But what if you don't have time? I'm asking this morning, are you building your life in keeping with God? Is He your God? Are you ready not only to die for Him, are you ready to live for Him? If you're subject in any way to the gospel, to the great invitation of our Lord, oh, how we trust that you'll make up your mind that you'll obey the Lord while together we stand.